Blog Talk Radio.
Live on Blog Talk Radio. The Candid Frank Live Show.
Candid Frank Live.
With
about half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill.
John the Argo Boat Logo Granger.
Candid Frank Live.
Christopher Lion's Den Jones. Mike. The CFL is the best football in the world, Townsend. Kelly, Rough Rider Daddy Bale. Manasseh, Blog Talk Radio Show, Geber Medin. And Bruce, Hamilton Tiger Cat, 13th man, John Inch. Another interesting week to discuss no agreement between the players and the owners. And I got to tell you, it doesn't sound pleasant from the players that I've talked to. It sounds ominous, to say the least. But I have to say this, and I don't believe that it'll be possible that that we'll lose any regular season activity with the regular players. The sacrificial lamb may probably be preseason games. And a chunk of training camp, maybe. That's about as far as it'll probably go. On the Toronto Argonaut front, we can look forward to, in the next couple of days, if not today, because I wasn't paying attention today, the announcement that MLSC has purchased the Toronto Argonauts will probably happen in the next couple of days, and it'll all be a big surprise to many. Not us, but it will be a surprise to many. Additionally, I want to say hello to Aaron Nagy, who's out there putting things together as far as a CFL veteran player tribute, if you will. We'll let you know more about that when it actually becomes reality, and there are meaty things to talk about. Also, this week, I guess the other thing worth mentioning is that. Some of the players that have been brought in are of pretty good quality. And it doesn't seem to me that we're going to have much difficulty replenishing the CFL talent this year. It seems as though the more great talent that leaves, the more great talent that turns up. Because usually the great talent leaves for a very good reason. That reason, of course, is the NFL. And for the players, that's a good enough reason for them. And if it's a good enough reason for them, it's a good enough reason for me. The other thing is, I consider him a friend as well as a football player. And now he hasn't said a word to me, so neither Argos or BC Lions should get upset with me because I heard it from other people, other sources, namely Christopher Jones. That Khalil will be leaving us permanently for, of course, the BC Lions. And the BC Lions, of course, will be better for it. When he left with a few people saying things that I don't think were complimentary. He came here, we were buyer beware, us being the Argos and Argo fans. And I think Khalif did a great job while he was here. And I found him always entertaining, always, the man had a voracious appetite for discussing things with people. He has opinions, which he is willing to share. He's not one of those people who's afraid to talk to you, that's for sure. And I will miss those conversations after practice, I have to tell you. So today we have a a couple of special guests. They are, of course, two football players at once we're going to have today. And you could say today you will be hearing a conversation with two roses and a thorn. I'll allow you to figure out which is which. We will be having, as our guests, today, and this is recorded, by the way, sorry you can't ask them any questions, but they said if they had time, they'd drop by. They played their first game this year on the weekend, and we can have them review the game if they come on. We'll wait for them to tell us about it. And, of course, I'm referring to the LFL, the Legends Football League, and I'm referring to Becca and Veronica Valuto of the Seattle Mist, and they will be on the program shortly. And I got to tell you, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun talking football with people that love the game, played it for a very large part of their lives, and get the definite sense that they love the game. But first, we'll have the guys come in, and I guess I should call them. I don't know. Should I call them? Do you think I could do this show alone? Last time Christopher threatened to not call and leave me hanging. And I'm just wondering whether I should put up with that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know if that's fair or not. We already have some guys on the line, and so maybe we'll bring them in. And I also will do what I should have done. And but anyway, well, Mike is first. Mike was an eager beaver, an eager beaver. He's already here. Mikey, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Frank? How you doing, man?
Good. Can't complain. If I did, nobody'd care anyway. So what's the point?
Right. I feel you, man. Hey, can I do a favor? Can I make a public service announcement? I just need a couple seconds.
Okay. Go ahead.
If you don't mind.
No.
I would like to say to the persons that listen to the show, do not, and I repeat, do not inbox me on Facebook calling me an in-lover of domestic violence because you do not know me, first of all. And now that I have said that, Frank, I'm now back to my professional self. Thank you very much.
Somebody inboxing you because you have an idea about a football player that you like and you feel will be a good player for his team? Is that what that's all about?
I guess that's what it's all about, but the part that got me, they call me the N-word, and I'm a supporter of domestic violence.
Oh, cool. Well, you know what? Apparently the N-word's pretty popular right now. And, you know,
the best part is it's
in the white community now. You know, the N-word is being used a lot in the white community. And, you know, back in the day, the N-word was used, when you were a young lad and when I was a teenager, that kind of thing. It became a word that the African American, the men of color, the women of color, not so much, started using the word to sort of kind of take ownership of the word. The theory was that if they used the word, it couldn't hurt them anymore. And I don't think it does. I think it's just a word. What really hurts is that people think it really hurts. That's the part that's stupid, you know. It's I grew up with we didn't have an N-word, we had a W-word. So, you know, I understand about racial profiling and racial personal attacks using words as the weapon. But you know what? The best thing to do is to ignore these people as best you can. But I don't agree with totally ignoring them. I think we should embarrass these people. We should ensure that we don't have to tell on individuals, not individuals, but when it comes to groups and such things. It's, I think what I'll say on your behalf is, shame on you for calling somebody that. It really doesn't mean anything. It's only a word. And you're just showing how weak you are by using that word. People use angry words because they can't make a decent point. That's all. That's why they do.
Yeah, it was. The N word didn't get me. It's the fact that you say I'm a supporter of domestic violence. Please put my hand on a woman. I don't do things like that. I have different views of domestic violence. And the other thing I want to say is,
Mike, you are a person who forgives somebody for doing.
There you go. Yes, I do. I always forgive. Never forget, but I forgive because it's in my nature.
Ah.
That's how I was raised.
Now you see. Now you see. There's the key element that belongs in there. That truly, I think the person who sent you that inbox message, if they're listening, we may forgive, but we don't forget. So
no,
to suggest because somebody forgives doesn't mean that they've forgotten and or are opening the door for another opportunity for a repeat performance. It just means now we're ready for it if it happens. It ain't going to be something that's going to sneak up on us.
Right. And if you call me that again, just put Mr. in front of it at least.
There you go. Also,
put
also
Mr. in
with
front
us,
of it.
Also with us is our friend. I think he's here. Isn't that you, Christopher?
It's me. Yeah.
Okay.
What up?
just call you sir, Michael.
You can either call me sir, either sir or put Mister in front of it. Either or, man. Come on, you know, at least put Mister in front of it with the capital M. You know.
Yeah, I'm with you there, bro. I'm with you there. I think it's disgusting. I think that anybody that feels that they have the power and the ability to do something like this, it has no right to be associated with any of us.
Right. And I'm going to tell you, Chris, this came from me and your discussion this morning, which I'm not going to bring it up, but you know what I'm talking about. And I said what I said, but we always have a way to agree to disagree. We can say what we want to say to each other, and it's going about its business. You know,
we're on different sides of this one, Michael. Without question, we are, and I have no problems with that. You and I are friends at the end of the day because that's who we are, okay? We're not going to agree on everything. We don't agree on which team's going to win a football game. That doesn't mean that we're mortal enemies, and I'm going to start calling you names. As soon as somebody calls somebody a name, they've lost the argument. That means that you cannot deal with reason and logic. You have switched to emotion. And you have lost, buddy. So anybody who comes out and starts calling names, regardless of what it is, regardless of who it is, and whether or not you believe that you are correct, you've lost.
You lost.
Well, that's what happens when people revert to name-calling. They don't have an argument. That's the problem.
That's correct.
You know, that's how it always works. You ever notice? The name-calling always comes to the end of the argument because they've ran out of things to... points to make. That's why it works that way, right? It's always the worst attack always happens at the end of the discussion, which may become an argument, and then the words come out that are embarrassing. You know what? And I'm going to say this. It's also the person who says that. You know, we've all said things that we wish we could reel back in, and usually name calling is at the top of the list. So for the people that name call, you know, we understand. We forgive you as long as you know that you're willing to ask forgiveness at least to yourself, you know, that you do something like that, because calling people names and insulting that people that way is beneath all of us, not just me, not just Chris, not just Mike and anyone else. It's beneath all of us. So
Michael, do we have a relationship with this person?
You know what? They came in with a fake username, and then after they said what they did, they deleted it off, and it came back as Facebook user.
Okay. So we have no idea. There's no – we don't know whether they're a member of the group or not or anything.
Talking cowardly to the hilt.
We are. It sure sounding like it. I mean, if you're going to do something like that, man up. Stand toe-to-toe with the
or
person
woman
and
up.
Deal with it.
Man up or woman up.
Yeah, whatever.
Right.
Be who you are.
And I'm going to say it again for everybody that knows me, that I am not a fan of domestic violence, nor man hitting a woman or woman hitting a man. I'm not a fan of neither one. Neither. So we're going to make this clear.
But Mike, wouldn't it be fair to say, unfortunately, in some people's minds, rightly or wrongly, I'm not to cast judgment, the fact that someone says to someone, it is very, you know, it is difficult to be the messenger, even of the good word, because Jesus Christ himself, you know, asked people to forgive people, and he was a messenger. And while he was alive, if you believe in him and if you believe in that thing, I was trying to make a silly little point, that even he had people who thought that he was nuts to forgive people. So it's easy to be the person who says to a group, well, this guy, yeah, I understand he's, you know, whatever he is. You're taking a chance, you know, by saying, well, let him live his life. You're taking a chance because, you know, you're taking a chance because, quite frankly, you could be backing a repeat offender. You don't know if he's repeat what he's done before. We only know that he's done it. We don't know that he won't do it again. The same way we don't know that he will do it again. But it's risky.
It's the only time he's been caught.
Well, it's brave of somebody to forgive somebody publicly because, you know, the people who align themselves, Christopher, are, you know, against him, have the odds on their side that the person will do it again. You know, we had this discussion before, and we've had it many times. But the only reason I'm saying this right now is let's understand that, you know, I'm not my brother's keeper. I'm not responsible for anything my brother does. But I am responsible on the human side to try and find the good in people, not always see the bad, which is hard to do. That is a difficult, you know, position to take. Mike, you're seeing a perfect example of why it's not good to be a decent human being.
Yeah, for real.
You know, and that's too bad.
Yep.
That's just too bad. And I don't mean it sarcastically either. So basically this week we can I got Facebook here, but I'm trying to get it. I have some problems sometimes, and today is one of those days where I'm having problems with Facebook. I'm trying to see if I can pull it. It won't move on me. So there we go. I got it to move. All right. So I'm waiting to see who wants in. I don't have any messages yet, but I do know
I do, well,
Bruce is definitely not coming. He's in Turtle Beach, having a wonderful time there. And
Turtle Beach, I like that one.
Yeah, he's in Turtle Beach having a great time. Envious I am, as is my better half. She saw a picture of the sunrise there and was envious. Bruce is having a great time. He's in Myrtle Beach. We won't hear from him. We won't hear that I'm ignoring him on Facebook. But I don't see anybody up there, so I'm innocent this time. This time.
So far.
So, there was a post in our group, and for those of you that may or may not know, CFL is the greatest football in the world, reached 4,000 people this week. Amazing. Amazing.
What?
You two have to be congratulated. Didn't it reach 4,000?
It hasn't done that. No,
3,000?
It reached 3.
Oh, 3.
Yeah, 3.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm in a hurry.
Yeah, we crossed. It's okay.
I'm in a hurry. 3,000. I apologize. I know what it was. I was posting on a hockey site. They have 4,000. So basically, congratulations on that, guys. And I know Phyllis Jesperson works very hard maintaining, you know, she does the housework, if you will. How's that for sexist?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Phyllis, man, she does hard work in the group, man.
She does. She's the den mother. You know, she does all the work. She does a lot more work than I do, as you guys do. You know, congratulations on that. Sorry, 3,000. I jumped the gun. The way things are going, before the season starts, I could see 4,000 being a definite number.
Well, we almost hit 31 today.
Mm-hmm. We are members short from 31.
Yeah. I got four.
And also, Frank, also our arena football room that we do post CFL affiliate information, it's 3,000 over the weekend also.
Yeah, it did. It crossed 3,000. I'm impressed that CFL is caught them because they were over 1,000 members ahead of us. But it's funny how we're talking about we and them because they're both you and I.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean, Mike?
Yep.
We both started both of them. So, yeah, the they caught up to us after Indoor League caught up to the CFL League this weekend, or getting very close to it after the CFL has passed them, because they were ahead by over 1,000 members, and the CFL group just skyrocketed in the last couple of months. So very impressed with it, very happy with it, and we've got a good group of people.
Well, there's always conversation. What usually happens in groups is there's very little banter. You know, I would even hesitate to say that 0.5% of the people in the group post anything in a matter of a week, you know, in a lot of groups. You know, I mean, hockey right now, they're in the playoffs. So you expect that, you know, those groups would be very active at this point. But, you know, the CFL is still in preseason mode. Now, I had a request, and I know, Christopher, this may or may not be something
that...
Qu'est-ce que
c'est? ...ou le centre vétérinaire DMV au 514-633-8888.
Now, that was me trying to get a hold of Serge. Serge.
Because he said he was going to be on the show today. I was talking to him.
Yeah.
And he said as long as there is conflict, he wants to be part of the group. And he's talking about the CBA.
Yeah. Okay, I'll message him right now that I called him.
Conflict about the CBA, he don't want to be a part of the group?
No, the other way around. He figures there's something to talk about if there's conflict. He has an opinion if there's conflict. I think that, Chris,
The line that I got here, and I says, no, you have not missed anything. You stated that you would be on the show until the conflict is resolved. I'm curious as to what conflict you are referring to. His reply was the CBA conflict. I try to bring this all I can do. So there.
We'll wait for him to bring some focus to
our group on the CBA.
Well, you know, when he decides to join the group, or message me that he wants in, I will bring him in. I will definitely do that. I don't have a problem doing that at all. But I gave him a call now. I'll give it another try. I'll give it one more. I'll tell you what. Let's do it on the air and see if
he's gonna message one of us back.
Yeah, I know. I'm just dialing anyway to see what happens. Get his answering machine again.
I can get my wife in here to leave a message in French if you'd like.
Sure.
Bienvenue à la clinique vétérinaire de Montréal. Veuillez noter que la clinique est ouverte lundi, mardi et jeudi.
All right. So, I can say I tried him twice. John Granger has promised, has told me that he's going to be on today. He's got some work to do. He's very busy. Where he works, they're in extra hyper mode, and he's very tired. They're burning the poor guy out. I mean, when he started the job, he was about 6'4", 220, 230. I figure he'll be down to about 4'11", 187 pounds by the time this part of his project.
4'11", he's going to be the same height as my daughter.
There you go. I got a daughter not as tall as that, and she's pretty much grown. She's had her limit of growth. What interested me this week, and what interests me this week, I'll start with one topic, and then you guys can add something else if you wish. First of all, this business about the NFL proposing, or they're airing out this idea that they're going to create a league that will be a farm system for their league, like you know, hockey has the American Hockey League. You know, basketball has their league as well. What do you guys think of that?
Been there, done it, seen it, tried it, got the T-shirt.
Mike?
Well, like Chris said, seen it, watched it. But with them having a farm league, the way they used to have with the NFL Europe or World League of American Football, I think that's what it was called.
Yeah.
Right now,
Who are we losing? Or is it me?
Nope. I think it's Mike. Okay. I'll pick up where he started. Back when the World Football League took off, the theory was that they could garner interest in the game in Europe. It seemed to attract a lot of, you know, there was traction for the game in Europe. And there still is a lot. In fact, they still have leagues there. Not big leagues, but they still have football being played there. There
yes.
still is a level of interest. And I get it.
On a professional scale.
Yeah, on a semi-professional scale.
Yeah.
On a semi-professional scale. And I get that. The thing about football is that it's very elitist in the United States. They won't. They will not support something that's secondary. They really won't when it comes to football. And the reason I'll say that is because college football in some circles surpasses popularity even of the NFL. So it's not so
Correct.
Much that they're competing with the NFL as much as they would be competing with college football. And college football is fighting tooth and nail, as we all know, in allowing players to quit college early, you know, to go up for the draft. So to compete with teams, I don't think college football likes the idea. And I don't think there's an appetite in the United States for another league just like the NFL, just with guys that don't play as well. And the CFL, in my opinion, survives simply because it's a different game in a different place with a dedicated fan base that has grown and you know, it's had its ebbs and tides over the last 100-plus years, but it has a history. It's very rich in that history, and it's a different kind of game, which makes it not competitive, really, with the football as we know it in the U.S., even though college is not totally the same as the NFL. It's still basically the rules are the same in those two leagues, especially when you place the CFL in the same conversation. And that's why I think it won't survive. I don't think it can compete with college football.
Okay. Here's my thoughts on it, really. The CFL, if we slammed the ball and let another American play in our league, we would survive because we are football fans of the Canadian rules. And it doesn't matter whether they're replacement players, whether they're Canadian players, or whether or not we have the most elite players that we have, I'm going to support my BC Lions to the nth degree, as will the Rider fans, Stamps, Eskimos, Argos, Ticats, Owls, and who am I missing? Riders. I've done them twice. But you know what I'm saying? Is
yep.
that we will survive regardless of whether or not the Americans have 28 leagues. So bringing one more league into this, especially in a capacity where own a junior team and would have their second or third, fourth, fifth stringers down there playing, rehabbing, doing whatever else like the AHL does and be during the season so that it's a better game when somebody goes down. I don't think that that's a bad thing because they can't do that in the CFL because all the players here are under contract. It depends a great deal on what their pace is going to be in these teams, whether or not the person goes to the CFL or goes to the NFL junior. But that being said, a player playing in the CFL for the money, they're trying to get to the NFL. So odds of them getting pulled up from one of the junior teams would be greater. So we would have harder time trying to pull people up to do that. But people like Chad Johnson wouldn't get a second shot down there in the junior to go so fast because trying to play and bring people up to the next level, that's not where the has-beens are going to go.
Nope,
so,
sure won't.
You know,
and I agree with you on that one.
I don't think that the junior league, NFL junior, for I don't know what else to call it than that, I don't think it's really going to affect the CFL. We might not get quite the quality or caliber of players all the time, But there are people who are going to come up here because they make the NFL. And if they're just going to be stuck in the juniors down there, they would much rather come up to the CFL, have more fun playing the game, be appreciated on a greater level by a fan base that is truly sincere.
Mike?
They yep. see that.
And my thing is, if they're going to have a development league for the NFL, my thing is this. I mean, it's a long shot, but the NFL and the CFL can combine, and you can actually, like Chris said months back, having some American teams playing the Canadian rules and have the same import ratio. I mean, that will actually work. I mean, because it's not a shortage of players, because the you got the arena leagues, and you got the indoor leagues, and you got the all these other arena leagues that's coming out, about 7-8, and they like farm leagues for the AFL and all that good stuff, and the IFL. So you're not having a shortage of players. You're just bringing more players up to have a chance to play in the bigger leagues, whether it's the Canadian League or the NFL.
Because I don't see the NFL playing ball with the American.
Well, there was
I'm agreeing
time.
With the American teams playing Canadian rules. I love it.
There was a time when there were in the contracts, there was a basically in the CFL contract stipulation, the NFL was more than willing to share with the CFL, even gave the CFL some money, and also promoted the idea that, hey, if you play for the CFL, we will consider you for the NFL. That kind of thing could come back, especially when the popularity
more,
of the game keeps rising. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't think this is a bad thing, and I don't think that it's something that we should fear. I don't think it's going to be as successful as what they want it to do unless they just throw buckets of money at it. And then it would have to they would have to justify a reason to throw buckets of money. These people down there are not there for the welfare of the game by any stretch of the means. These are business people that are there.
We have a great example even today, and I'm really disappointed that Serge isn't here because this is right up his alley. All one has to do is look at the – Baltimore is gone or has been gone for more than a decade from the Canadian
mm-hmm.
football. Some 15 years, I think, something like that, right? In and around there.
Yep, give or take.
Right, give or take. And there's still a huge following there for the Baltimore Stallions, the CFL team that played the CFL rules in Baltimore. And I think that's because they played a different brand of football. They weren't competing head-to-head with the NFL. Because if you play the exact same game as the NFL, you're destined to be compared to the NFL. And uh-huh. you know, America... And I think that's the advantage and the reason why the CFL will always survive, because it's a different game. It's one that has a whole different look, and you can forget the fact that it's not or does not have the exact same kind of talent the NFL has, and you can look at it as a whole different thing. And I think there are a lot of people who say the same about college football. They follow college football as religiously as they do the NFL because it's different, not because it's either an extension or the same. They follow it because it's different. And the communities, when it comes to in the United States, as an outsider, because I'm definitely not an insider, although I've been inside and driven by high schools there, where they have football stadiums that compete with CFL stadiums.
Yes.
They love their football. They love their football. But they're very, you know... they're very set in what's important to them. Believe it or not, this may sound crazy, but I happen to think that they've got enough football already. They don't have the appetite or the desire or the need to have another version of the NFL. I just don't think there's room for it. They're sufficiently – what's that word your father used? Sophonsifated. You know, they're full.
Can I disagree with you, Frank? Go ahead. A lot of cities down there that want to have an NFL team but can't justify a 30, 40, 50,000 seat stadium and $1 billion to buy in. Cities like Portland and Salt Lake City and Sacramento and
Vegas.
You know, Las Vegas and you know all the teams that were down there before, Memphis. All of these teams probably would be very successful right? One of the small that would be
Goodness
very successful
did.
With a junior league, and I think that it's really a cool thing. And you know, for months I've been purporting that a CFL America, CFL USA would be we had some teams across the northern border of the United States playing CFL rules. They wouldn't have to have the non-import ratio that we do in Canada and just have their own league down there and not necessarily even cross-pollinate or cross-play. But,
yeah.
That is a totally different game, as you said, than what they already have down there. So the CFL, I think, in a parallel league to ours across the northern stretch of the United States would be highly successful, where the NFL juniors could play in the more mid to southern state and football would jump to the next level in the United States, and it might devastate other sports completely, especially boring as hell.
Like you said, the parallel league, but I'm gonna tell you, the way the CFL going right now, CFL is on a good solid ground. Once they get that 10th team in the CFL, already a lot of American folks like myself and a lot of people in other states, they watch the CFL and they take the CFL game very seriously. We also call the NFL the no fun league because they take fun out of the end zone celebrations, the excessive celebrations. They take the fun out of the game. I mean, it's too long. The play clock is too long. All these timeouts. I mean, it's really boring. If it's not me watching the Detroit Lions, I don't watch the NFL. So
what I was going to say, while Christopher was talking, no, it's okay. Well, while Christopher was talking, I was, you know, thinking to myself how brilliant an idea it would be if there was a Canadian Football League league in the U.S. that ran independently and played for,
yes,
just for the sake of discussion here, okay, would play for the American Cup, you know? And would play for the American Cup. What?
A pink. We have the gray one. They can
play for a different color if you want. But the point is, they would play for you know, the American Cup. We would play for the Grey Cup. And then there'd be a North American Cup where they would play for the champion of North America, you know. And
right.
I think it would be pretty hype.
There you go.
You know, it'd be pretty hype, you know, where we leave the Canadian game as the Canadian game, and we just see,
yep,
if there are enough teams in the United States. Because I happen to think, as you know, as far as I know, as far as what I recall with Baltimore, the Americans liked the Canadian game. They didn't think of it as they didn't think of it as an NFL game. They thought of it as a different game, and they enjoyed the difference.
Right.
Yeah.
The only thing that I might add to that.
Okay, give Mike a chance now. Go ahead, Mike.
Yep. Go ahead.
I know. All I was saying, you know what made the CFL real famous in the States last maybe 4 or 5 years? Back then, if you watched the CFL, it came on CBC around the northern area and some of the places that had TSN, like Ohio has TSN. But anything below Michigan, Ohio, did nobody know nothing about CFL until ESPN3 came out and they started showing the CFL on ESPN3 and the NFL Network. Because they were getting a lot of viewers on the NFL Network. I think it was maybe like 1 point something million, almost 2 million viewers on the NFL Network. And NFL Network, like, wait a minute, hold up. We don't even get that many viewers on a Thursday night game on the NFL Network. And the CFL getting these many viewers? Nah, we can't have this. So ESPN picked it up real quick. Like, hey, wait a minute, we got the the Americans are loving this, and this is going to put us some ratings. We're going to put this on ESPN. That's why ESPN 1 and 2 started showing games last year on the different networks, and then NBC picked it up. Because it's a very popular sport here. I mean, people watch it. We might not hear them talk about it in our rooms, but believe me, Americans love the CFL.
John Grange has just joined us, and John, we're talking about the word's out that the NFL is thinking of starting another league, which will be a feeder league to the NFL more directly than the, you know, the indirect route that indoor football is, and of course the CFL. I mean, it would be competing with, I guess, college in you know, supplying football players. It'd basically be a second chance league for college players that played out their ability to play in college football and still maintain an opportunity to make the NFL. What are your feelings on the NFL starting this new league that they're talking about, if you've heard about it?
Well, I heard, first of all, hello, boys, hello, listeners. I heard a little bit about it, Mike, maybe about a year ago, and I think there was some Texas guy and some Southern boys who wanted to get a league going, and it didn't start up. And then, of course, the Europe NFL crashed and burned. And so now the NFL is looking for, like, a spring league, if you want to call it, you know, somewhere where they can send the guys down or bring them up or test them out. I don't, you know... Guys, I don't know what to say about that. Anything to bring, you know, sports into the limelight and, you know, activity. I like it, but is it good for the CFL? Is that what the question is, or is it good for football? What's the question?
Or
have I heard?
Would it harm the CFL?
There really is no question. But what answers we're looking for is, they're talking. The question is, what happens if this league, moves into existence? Does it hurt the CFL? Does it compete with the CFL? Will it compete with college football? Even, you know, I would suggest that they'd be competing with high school football in the United States. That's what that league would be doing. They wouldn't even be competing with college football because there are a lot of college football fans that don't even consider the NFL as good as college football.
Well, Frank, the only way it affects the CFL is if it drains the player talent that would otherwise be coming up here for some, you know, reason. Maybe their pay scale is even higher than the CFL's. If that becomes the case, then there's some concern because you are going to have a talent drain. Maybe not as much as you would think, but there might be a few that might go down because they're closer to home and the taxes and whatever might be interested. For that reason, yeah, it's not a good thing for the CFL. Otherwise, you know, they need somewhere. I mean, there's a lot of leftovers out there. There's a lot of talent that is being wasted. And, you know, like the CFL camps that the Argos are doing right now, a mini one in Florida, is to bring out the local talent. And, you know, guys, there's a lot of talent in Florida as far as when it comes to football. It's a lot of youth that are still active and, you know, just never been given the right look are getting these kind of chances. I mean, there's a lot of guys down there. So it's a good thing, I suppose. I mean,
I like what Milanovic said. You know, and I care what the Argo management says because that's my team, and I like what he said, and he's a very straight shooter. And they're down there looking at guys that, first of all, have to have talent, first of all.
Right.
But they also have to have an understanding of the game. And if they don't have the experience or understand, you know, the intricacies of technique, those are things that the Argo management and the Argo coaching staff can teach them. In other words, if they're down there looking for players that are coachable, that they bring up here, that maybe didn't get the kind of chance to be coached properly and are more talented than their ability shows, you know, off the hopper, off the get-go. So it is important for the Argos and the other teams in the CFL to go down there because there are a lot of talented players down there who, for whatever reason, and who cares why, didn't quite make it in the pipeline because that pipeline has a pretty thick shell. You know, if you don't make it in the draft out of college in the U.S., they're not, you know, they don't have that many, there aren't that many stories of walk-ons making it in the NFL. There are stories of them, but they're rare and you know, far and few between. Unless I'm reading
wrong. I got to tell you something, guys.
They make movies about it.
Yeah, but this is not a good thing if you're an NFL player, okay, because you're always going to feel heat. You know what I mean? It's like if there's somebody down in the minor league, minor NFL league, whatever you want to call it, whatever they decide to designate it, if there's somebody down there that's showing, you know, glimpses of, well, maybe we should bring him up. Maybe, you know, we can use him. And the NFL guys in the league, it's going to put some heat on them. I mean, the owners are going to like it. The coaches are going to like it. But the players themselves, I don't know about that.
Even salaries. Even salaries.
Well, it's no different. It's no different than the NHL and the AHL right now, John.
Right.
So I don't really think that that's going to be that big of an issue in that. I mean, this way the NFL, you know, their running back goes down, so they can call somebody up to play, you know, third string running back on the team while the team's running, making a run for the cup.
But that's so. I think that's John's point. Rather than fill from within, you know. They're gonna say, well, you know what? We got this guy. He's a good backup, and that's all he is. He's a backup. We got this guy down in the minors that we think's a better running back. Like, it's tough enough to be on the depth chart on the team. Now the depth chart is going to extend further away and longer. The depth chart's going to be longer.
Who would want to do that? Who would want to be a third-string quarterback holding a clipboard on the side of the field making – decent bucks when the first stringer down below is working his ass off improving and is about to take your job or somebody else's above you?
I don't know whether John intended to say that, but that's the point.
The practice roster guys are going to be non-existent anymore. Okay, you know those guys who get a salary and they just for the practice. There's no more of those guys. All right, they're down on that minor league. Sure, they're going to be calling up those guys to change practice. So there's going to be heat. I mean, it's good for the coaches. It's good for the league, because there's fresh talent all the time, and maybe it's good for the fans too. But not so much for the players themselves. I mean, all the contracts are non-guaranteed, and now you got, you know, other talent up your, you know, rear end. Just it's good for us, maybe not so good for the players. You know,
Frank,
who are playing.
Frank, call Kelly.
Yep. Yeah, I did already. He's in the room.
Oh, okay.
Right, Kelly?
Hey, Kelly. Hey, Kelly.
Yeah, having a good night, fellas?
Hey,
I've been waiting for your call.
Yeah, pardon me, Frank. I just was out a little bit late tonight attending to some Davey stuff, but
we had
a fun day, and it was worth it.
And that's all that matters. And that's all that matters. So the subject matter that we're hitting on right now is the subject of The NFL has discussed, and you know about it, they've discussed bringing in a new league, creating a new league. The question, I guess, is it of any concern for those of us that love the CFL?
No, and there's 100 reasons, well, actually 101 reasons in the books as to why not. I mean, we're a long-established league. We've got our pillars firmly in the ground. I really don't see it as being a huge deal. It's going to be like the D League, and really, if you ask anybody in some of the lower basketball leagues in North America if the D League affected their talent pool, I think they'd agree that it didn't.
But it does affect the opportunity for players ply their trade and actually have an advantage over the guys who are in the big league.
Sure, but this might improve our talent. With that said,
exactly, it will.
Guys will lose jobs, and it'll be sad. But at the same time, it's just going to really push the talent. Like I heard when I first joined the room here, I believe that's true. It will push the talent, and it'll push guys out of the league that really don't deserve to be here anymore once this all comes into effect.
Yeah, and the other and most important factor, which we were kind of alluding to, but let me be specific, it gives a quarterback reps. It gives every player on that support team, that you know, that minor league team, whatever you want to refer to it, the feeder league,
yep.
the junior league, as Christopher mentioned it, this gives them an opportunity to get a lot of reps. And we know, we as football fans know how important, even we know how important it is to get reps. You know, it's a big deal when a guy gets reps at practice because, you know, that's his opportunity to fine-tune, you know, his game. You know, with the other guys that are regulars, you know, and that to me is an important factor, and I believe that's why the AHL in hockey is so successful, basically because it gives players an opportunity to compete better.
You can't compare the two of them, Frank, because for the simple fact is, let's use a hockey team, and we'll use, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs is an example. Every single player on that team gets on the ice every single game. They might not all get equal playing time, but they all get on the ice. So they're all getting, as we call them, reps.
Actually,
where
they
in
don't.
The CFL and the NFL.
They don't.
Well, no.
They don't. They're just like the,
everybody except
like
the backup goalie.
No, Chris. They have taxi squads. They call them the black shirts. There's guys that skate around in black shirts that aren't part of the team. The only thing with the Leafs is what the Leafs did. They're a bad example for you because here's why. I just want to make this clear. Their minor league team plays in the same practices in the same facility the major team does. But if you use a different example like Buffalo, where they got their guys one group in Rochester, one group in Buffalo, there's guys who don't get ice time. Christopher, believe me, they don't get ice time. They just basically sit in the press box. In fact, those five seats or six guys, whatever it works out to, I think, five or six.
Right, but it's a very small number. I'm talking about your backup quarterback, your third-string quarterback, or your backup. The depth chart on a football team is much greater for the people who are sitting around and very rarely get on the field. And if they get on the field, they're lucky to get some special teams play. Okay? So, you know, where they're in a junior capacity, they're going to be first or second stringers. They're going to be on the field, you know, 90% of the time that their team is on there, like offense or defense. So it's so much better for them to be able to have a junior league. I mean, I think it's a wonderful thing, and I hope it works.
Well, it may or may not. The question's going to be whether the fans have an appetite for another league which plays the exact same football as the NFL, which is the most popular sport on television. And the reason it's the most popular is because everybody everywhere watches it. And then somehow worm your way in between that and college football, which has audiences of 100,000 people at a game, you know, for them to squirm their way in to find some sort of space in between those items, you know, NFL Live, NFL TV, college football, and then high school football. I just think that they're saturated with football in the United States.
Well, what I heard was, like I said, a year ago when I heard rumblings of it, and it was a few rich guys who wanted to, like I said, get another league going and more or less kind of put a stop to it because they were starting to talk about the NFL and to the NFL. And the NFL's idea is this. The cities that would get a team, these junior teams or whatever you call it, B-League, are going to be cities that, you know, are interested in also getting an NFL team. And it's kind of putting out the feeler market. In a smaller stadium, perhaps in the stadium that they want it in, they have an empty stadium, and they want an NFL team there. So it's kind of a good thing for the NFL. It's a cash cow, regardless of how you look at it. With all the social media going on there, these games are going to be televised in the local markets. There's going to be money there. And, you know, Americans are football hungry, and if it's something related to the NFL, it's going to sell because you know what the NFL is going to do? They're going to sell the crap out of it. You know, they're going to publicize it. They're going to commercialize it. They're going to do whatever it takes to get the...
No doubt they'll give it the best help it can to succeed. But they've tried it, and it hasn't worked. And, John, the question I ask is, why didn't it work?
They haven't tried it. They haven't tried it because it wasn't the Minnesota Vikings having a junior team. It wasn't the Dallas Cowboys having a junior team.
Right.
It was a
right.
bunch of rich people going off and creating a competitive product.
Right.
Okay? This is a whole different ballgame. When I first said, at the beginning of it, said, you know, seen it, tried it, done it, got the T-shirt sort of thing, I was being, that was kind of tongue-in-cheek because we've never seen this before. This is something totally different where, you know, the Denver Broncos are coming out with a junior team. So now all of the Denver Bronco fans are going to be supporting this team. I mean, we've recently had the problem here in Abbotsford where we had the Abbotsford Heat. Okay, what? Wow. The Abbotsford Heat here, who were the Calgary Flames junior team.
Right.
The AHL team.
Yeah,
and, you know, we're 75 kilometers from Vancouver. The team folded because nobody would come and watch them because they were Calgary Flames franchise. They weren't the Vancouver Canucks franchise. And the only team that time that that thing ever sold out was when the Manitoba Moose or the Utica, whatever the hell they are, the new Canucks farm team, came to town. That was the only time that anybody ever went to the stadium. So, you know, you're going to have these teams that are going to be associated with.
But I'm confused, Christopher. I'm confused. You sound almost like you're taking both sides of the argument. You're saying, you know, but are you suggesting that
sometimes
that's
the only time I get an intelligent argument.
No, the reason I say that is because it sounded like you were saying that Minnesota would have to have a farm team. We'll call it a farm team. You know, maybe that'll be easier for everyone to understand. They're going to have a farm team in Minnesota, and Cleveland will have what? A farm team in Ohio, and New York, the New York Jets will have a farm team in. No, I'm trying to understand because it sounded to me like you were saying that for the popularity of the BC team Abbotsford was not popular because it was a Calgary affiliate, a Calgary farm team.
Right.
And you're almost implying that it should have been a Vancouver farm team, which have given it more of a chance to succeed.
You're correct, and,
sure.
and it would have. Now, but it depends on where it is. It doesn't mean that, okay, let's just hypothetically say that we don't, the Vancouver franchise team is in Saskatchewan. They don't have an NHL affiliate there, so they would support whatever they have, and they do, religiously. So, I'm not making myself very clear here. It has to go into a marketplace where there isn't somebody else close to it, like Salt Lake City or Portland, where they
don't really have an affiliation
with any other team. You went from Seattle and went into Tacoma, you wouldn't do it because that's Seahawk territory. You couldn't put the Vikings there.
Okay. All right. Well, here we have to use your example, the Montreal Canadiens have their farm team in Hamilton right here beside Toronto. And Toronto has their own farm team in Toronto. They can organize it that way. It's too hard for them because what's the main thing that I think teams want is they want the opportunity for their farm team to be successful. And there isn't necessarily always a place that can be aligned with it logically that'll work out because their primary concern is where do people really love football? And if we put a team there, it would have the highest chance. And then there would be debates over who gets that team, you know, who puts that team there. It sounded like you were making that, you were going back to the old way the CFL was, where, you know, you got to pick three of the guys in your market to play for your team and the other teams couldn't touch them, you know, or one, whatever. You know what I mean? I don't think it's a rule like it used to be. I don't think it's a rule.
We have
like
territorial protectors. That's how BC got Andrew Harris. He was a territorial protection.
When do they announce who the territorial protections are?
Yeah, that's been deleted since the 90s, Chris. I'm afraid to inform you. I remember when it happened when they deleted it.
We still have the territorial protections right now.
No, you do it.
It's still working.
They, No. Recently, all the teams have bought into this idea that they should bring in local guys because it's cheaper to bring in a local guy who lives already, and then there isn't the cost of them, you know, the habitation costs. You know, when you're only making $50,000-$60,000 a year, if you don't have to worry about starting up another home, that doesn't hurt your income. You know, and I think like Toronto has done it recently, as John will tell you, more and more. They're especially under Barker, they've been bringing in guys who are local, and it's not been because they're the only ones allowed to get them. It's because they've been proactive. It's worked out well for all the teams that they bring in their local guys, as you said about Harris. You know, that I think is just it's been done loosely as opposed to a rule. Now, you know, it's been done proactively.
Yeah, Stu Ford, Chris, think about that. I mean, he's a guy who was playing for the Regina Thunder at the time, and the Riders invited him to camp one year. Well, that was merely because he was in the city. I mean, had he been even in Calgary, he wouldn't have gotten that invite based on talent alone. Now, he ended up being a fairly good player because he worked his butt off, and he saw the talent that he was facing. And he ended up being a decent player and, you know, worked something and moved out to BC. But the regional protected list is something that at a time existed, but I think it was 1997. I was Googling to try and find out, but I think it was 97, the year the Riders went to the Grey Cup. That year is the year that the league pulled the regional protected list.
Well, look at this year. The best players in college, okay? They've got the CFL has their scouting bureau and has listed the 10 top players. None of the 10 top players are designated protected by any team. And if anyone's going to be designated, it's going to be one of those guys. That's for sure.
Maybe
and they're not.
Maybe it's in junior football, not in CIS.
No, you're right, Chris. But for the wrong reason. You're right because the teams are motivated to bring in guys. They've realized that it's a good idea to bring local guys in, and it also is good for the fans. The fans like local guys, like hearing the story about the guy. You know, he's a neighborhood guy, and when they go out and especially with CFL players who spend a lot of time in the community, and when you talk to them, you go, oh, you were raised here. Oh, you really? You know, like I forgot his name, and now I feel like a silly goose. Running back, John, for the he's from Mississauga, all right? And to me, that's a big deal. He plays for Mississauga. He played in Mississauga, and now he's a Toronto Argonaut. That's great. It's great. And
you
for you
Jeff
to be
Johnson?
No.
Who retired?
D. 32. God,
oh,
now I feel like... You know who I'm thinking about.
Yeah, now you got me thinking.
Remember
you? Drury.
Drury, thank you. I said D. Drury's from Mississauga, and he's playing for Toronto. It's better for him to be playing in Toronto because, you know, he's set up here, he grew up here, he has a home here, he has family here, and it's less expensive for him to move. It's just plain and simple. It's a financial intelligent move. And in Saskatchewan, if you got guys who are good football players and live around the neighborhood – and they don't have to go anywhere. You know, paying them $50,000-$60,000 a year or $70,000 a year and not have to set themselves up in a new home, which we know isn't cheap, you know, is a positive thing. It's a good thing. Anyway, we can disagree, but I like the idea that's part of what, to me, is the rationale that I enjoy about the CFL, is that we have a lot of local players playing for all our teams. You know, I think that's great. Kelly, we were talking about the CFL and now, you know, we all knew this was going to happen, right? The more popular the CFL gets, the more people they're going, hey, there's people out there who like football. Maybe I should start a team. And I think that's more or less what the conversation really is going to come around to, is that the NFL sees that there's interest, you know, growing. And they want to be a part of it. You know, the greatest business axiom is, you know, get in on the ground floor, you know. But, you know, what they
Absolutely.
Don't understand is there's about three levels below the ground that the CFL's been working on.
Wow.
You know, They're in the sub basement. They've built from the sub basement. You know, the roots are very deep with the CFL. Very deep.
They actually were a rugby league to start with. So the American football leagues were much different beginnings than ours. And you know, that is one part that Americans have typically struggled to understand. However, more recently, the football fans that are tuning in, since the invention of the internet, all they have to do is Google CFL and, you know, good old Wikipedia can get them right up to speed in about 45 minutes. So,
you're right.
And not only that.
I'm sorry, man.
He was
right.
and the biggest thing is that you didn't say that you could have added in there and also sample the game.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. NBC, ESPN, you know, there's coverage down there.
YouTube.
That's
forget
thing.
Even if it wasn't, even if there was no NBC, and the reason, you know, what I think, I'm beginning to think, and I'm just, you know, logically thinking here, I bet you part of the reason why NBC and company wanted to get involved is because they noticed that people were actually, playing the games on YouTube,
posting
from
these,
U.S.
Yeah, posting to these streaming websites and First Row and all these ones.
Yeah, and hits are counted. You know, there's nothing that turns the crank of a TV network than ratings. Numbers.
It's the easiest way to calculate and gather the Nielsen information nowadays is through IP addresses. I mean, it's not rocket science. It's a Nielsen machine that most people are just using for their television access these days, which is a computer or a satellite dish with a CPU in there.
Yep.
That's right.
We can see all kinds of football. So, you know, the popularity of the CFL is not an accident. The CFL has worked very hard to be popular. You know,
we'll see how popular they are, Frank, if they don't sign a deal in less than a month.
You know what I heard tonight, John?
What?
I want to say this, you know, it's an air of positivity. Is Jamie Nye, our sports guy with 980 CJME here in Regina, Saskatchewan. He's kind of the sports god. He has Suter on the show. It's called The Green Zone, and if you guys want to check it out, I would definitely recommend it. It's 3 hours every night but Sunday. So,
what time?
Yeah. What I was getting to there was...
So what time is the show at? Three hours
the
each.
Show? It starts at 5 in Saskatchewan, so I guess that's 7 there?
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Okay. All right. Anyway,
I got off the rails there, what I wanted to say was that Jamie Nye mentioned tonight that, what were we talking about here, fellas?
CBA,
contract, the CBA,
CFL.
And there's good news in the works.
That Mike Morreale lost his job because he had a quote in public saying that they might lose time in the season this year, and that Scott Flory gained a job because his statement was quite the opposite, that they will not lose a minute of football. So that's positive news from Jamie Nye and the Green
Zone.
But
doesn't that go against the two characters? One is more of a dove and the other was more of a hawk? The one that's in power now?
I mean, you would think so, but I guess...
Well,
unfortunately,
Kelly, what I hear is that they're gonna probably not play one preseason game.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm still going to Winnipeg. I'm gonna go there with a sign standing outside. Shame, Cohan.
Yeah,
shame.
No protest.
Oh, for sure. The ticket will be worth it just to fly out there just for that. It's bigger than the game.
Sure.
I can always get a tour of the stadium. That's not a big issue. But, you know, it would have been a regular preseason game. I've been to a million. Now, with a strike, it'll be even sweeter. Empty stadium. My wife and I, we're already planting the signs. If, you know.
Well,
anyway,
me and my missus, we plan on coming to Toronto when Montreal comes in town.
All right.
Saskatchewan?
I think I'm gonna come to Saskatchewan. Come too, either Saskatchewan and Hamilton or Saskatchewan and Toronto. Well, we're gonna be coming to about 3 or 4 CFL games this year.
Good for you.
Well, Frank's
we'll
got
be
a trailer.
Looking for you. Yeah, I got a trailer. I've got Mikasa Sukasa. My wife will take care of your daughter.
We already got our plans out. Oh, yeah, we're bringing her, too, so she can come there.
My wife will take care of your daughter. My daughters will love taking care of your daughter.
Well, he's also got enough room in his driveway for your truck, so no worries. You just pull the truck in.
Maybe the cab. I don't know about the rest of it, but the cab maybe.
Well, you know, the season's around the corner, boys. It's just like, you know, I can't believe it's May already, and I'm excited. At the same time, I'm a little bit concerned. I think the players are going to hold out, and it looks like the owners are going to try to show that they. I mean, you know, nobody can afford to do anything here, really. Nobody, literally. The pockets are not deep in any way where they can afford this. The union can't afford it. The owners can't afford it. The players can't. You know, nobody can afford it. But just for the stupidity of politics, they might do something to bring attention to themselves. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to come down to this lovey-dovey. We have no choice. Guys, we got to sign. I mean, the owners have to budge on the 40% that they're giving the players right now. Is that right? Is it 40%, Chris? Something like that?
I'm sorry. I was on a phone call. I just got back. What are we talking about?
Yeah. How much the players got last on their last CBA contract? It was 40%, I think. And you know, they're asking for the 60 now, which is crazy. They're not going to get that, of course. But the owners should look at it. I think a fair number, it shouldn't be anything over 50. It should be about 48%. You know, they got to give them 8% more. Of what they were getting in the profit margin of whatever they're looking for. I mean, you can't let these guys feel like they walked away from something that they could see is getting bigger. You know, we all feel it. We all know it. We're all hearing it. We're hearing the contracts. I mean, the deals, the advertisement. It's getting better. The numbers are there. It's getting better. And with social media, it's an extra avenue that the CFL was able to jump on and expose himself with. So the players see this, okay? And can I blame them for holding out? No, but I'm not going to like them, and I'm not going to like the owners, particularly Cohen. I'll remember him, and I'm going to dog him and boo him every time. Because, like I said, I plan on meeting Kelly in Winnipeg and whoever else was planning on going out there. And that's something that regular CFL fans should not have to think about. You know, we should plan, because a lot of other people, you know, never mind me, I just booked it about a month ago. There's other people who plan it like a year from now and say, look, we're going to bring the trailer, we're going to do this, you know, so you don't ruin the fans' life. I get it. You want your money? Let's cut a deal, guys. Agreed?
Well, that's what we're all hoping for. I think we have somebody new in the group right now just called in, and I believe his name might be.
Sorry, it's been late today.
No worries, Serge.
Not longer than I thought. Oh.
Did you get my message?
No, but it's okay.
Okay.
I saw that you called
around
9:22.
No worries. Serge wanted to talk about the Raptors, and what we'll do is we'll finish this conversation.
You know, I guess you already covered that, I'm sure.
What
more is there to say, right?
I waited for you. We waited for you.
It's my bad. You know, I was at.
Okay. Well, what we're talking about, Serge, is the NFL proposing announcing that they're planning on bringing in a farm league for their league in football.
Okay.
And we're debating the validity of it, and if it is valid, is it of concern to those of us that love the CFL and the CFL in particular?
Okay. I don't know. And I don't think so, personally, but, you know, I haven't had much time to think about it, so.
Our roots are pretty deep, right? I mean, that's the way I see it. And our roots are pretty deep.
I'm not worried about this league. I'm not. And I believe that we can, because, I mean, I think it would, I don't know, I think it would hurt more, I don't know, maybe Arena Football League or all these other little leagues. There already exists all kinds of leagues, U.S., whatever, so I think that's really more where it's going to hit, not so much ourselves. So.
Yeah, I don't think they dare try to discuss a franchise here in Canada somewhere.
Well, I don't know what's the whole Bon Jovi situation in Buffalo, but...
Well,
I think they were announcing Ruffles.
Yeah,
his
this
wife.
Week, this week, they're it's a no pun intended. It's a political football. You know,
right.
the state of New York will not let that team leave without a bit of a fight. There's a report that's going to come out, and if you're following the news, there's a report that's going to come out on the validity of keeping the team in upstate New York, in somewhere near Buffalo. There's even been discussions about putting a stadium in Niagara Falls to try and, you know, maintain it in New York State, but make, you know, the Canadians on the border feel more comfortable and it be a little more accessible. But, yeah, the team's going to be sold. The question is, will it leave? It looks like Cuomo and company don't want it to go. And if the state, you know, that's one thing about the U.S. They're very political when it comes to football. Football is a very political item. It's a hot button issue for politicians when it comes to teams leaving.
Too. You got the best of both worlds right there. So.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, it's north. It's upstate New York. It's, you know, it covers, aside from southern Ontario, it covers, you know, a pretty. I mean, you got Rochester, you got Syracuse, so it's like, you know, it's a pretty important little hotbed of, you know, football fans there.
Well, there's a lot of pride involved. That's always what I've maintained, that sports is a deep, you know, root of pride. I mean, even in hockey, there's the American pride. If you watch the playoffs, even though the players, a lot of them are Canadian, you see the American flag out there. The team is American. It doesn't matter that the players are Canadian, Russian, Swedish, Finnish, blah, blah, and more blah. You know, there's a lot of pride involved in having a team.
Yeah. Well, I have no worries about the CFL. If anything, because the CFL now is stronger than it was, than it used to be, and I think it'll continue to be strong. I don't think we need to focus too much on what the NFL is doing. I think we need to work on our own issues because we got some, and we need to get them resolved as soon as possible.
Let's worry about our game and not waste our time thinking about the opposition, right? Let's play the game that we can play.
Exactly. Yeah.
Almost the same as a game approach, right?
Yeah.
As a team. We got a game and we're good with it and we'll make it work. Let's make sure we have a good game plan for ourselves and not worry about how we're affected by the outside influences.
I feel like if they do it, the NFL farm team, it won't affect us as much as it'll affect other leagues in the U.S., other mini leagues and all that. I think that's where it'll. In any event, even, you know.
Well, isn't that what they're trying to do?
You know, there is, I don't know.
Aren't they trying to consolidate interest? Isn't that what they're really trying to do? They know there's a lot of fragmented interest in football in different ways, whether it be nine different arena football leagues. And maybe they're considering maybe this is a way of consolidating all the talent and you know, basically, you know, controlling the players that are available to the point where it helps them with their league.
And in the worst case scenario, if you know, we can't find enough American players, we'll just have more Canadian players playing, and there you go.
Yeah, we don't have a problem with that.
More
I
opportunities.
Have a problem with that.
That's
and then
what
people
I
argue,
what
the game will go down. No, I don't think so, but, hey, you know.
What's going to end up happening if they come up with a development league for the NFL, it's not going to hurt the CFL. It's not going to hurt the NFL. The only league that's going to get hurt from that development league is the indoor leagues, and maybe the arena football leagues. That's about it. And it all depends on what season that they do it in, too.
What time of year?
The opposite of the NFL season. I mean, they got to fill up the NFL network channel. You know,
if their intention, the way it sounded to me, is that it was going to be a league that was there for the purposes of the NFL, it would have to, just like the minor hockey leagues, be at the same time, because they'd all be having to play at the same time, because otherwise, I don't know how it would work if you had guys playing at a different time of the year. They wouldn't be in shape to play, to move up.
Right.
If that's the intention. I mean, we don't know, nobody here, I can't speak to what their overall intention is. I think we're just speculating here that maybe they're trying to consolidate football interest and control it, and or develop players that are good for their league that can compete with the players that are there, so that when a player says, I want $10 million, and the owners go, see, I got three quarterbacks in my minor league system. You know what? No. We'll give you $7 million, or we'll bring this other guy up. You're not worth an extra $7 million more than that guy. That guy's almost as good as you. So, you know, it could be a way of working another angle to you know, drive down the salaries of the players in the NFL, for all we know.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Yep.
Why else would they be doing it?
Oh, you wouldn't, think they'd be doing it for the good of football?
Is, what's going to happen is the NFL is going to actually start taking a page out of the CFL book sooner than later. With these high contracts, these million-dollar contracts, all that stuff is about to, all that stuff is going to come to an end, man.
Oh yeah,
you're
all
right. All of that's going to come to an end because if a lot of these guys get these bigger contracts, and what they do is they get their bigger money at the end of their contracts. A lot of guys get $450,000, and then you know they get their bigger money at the end where. If they make it that long, that's when they get the money. But a lot of guys, I mean, look at the longevity of an NFL player. What they say, 3 to 4 years, if lucky? You know?
Yep.
So them big high contract that these dudes getting, man, all this is going to come to an end real soon. Real soon.
For sure. Yeah, I agree. I think it's, you know, a symptom of the economy. And the economy hasn't recovered as had been hoping. And, you know, I think a lot of these owners said, oh, you know, they had an expectation of maybe 6-7 years spending a little more than they were accustomed to. But I think they're spending a lot more than they're accustomed to, and I think it's been about 10 years now. So, you know, that's got to come to it.
Kelly, I wish you were wrong because the height of greed, as far as the NFL's concerned, I mean – you can't tell me that they don't have any reason to be satiated. I mean, they must have. These guys, you know, they've gotten very rich. You know, they're a rich man to begin with. And actually, in actual fact, a lot of these owners are dyed-in-the-wool original NFL owners that bought the teams for $100,000. So you figure how much money is that? Like Wilson himself, how much did he pay for the Buffalo franchise? He was one of the original guys.
Probably.
Yeah, you know.
$70,000.
So, you know, and the thing's worth a couple of billion now. And you know, I mean, you know, I was kind of hoping they were doing it because it was a smart move to make football better. But I guess, you know, that's just wishful thinking. Listen, we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back after this. We're going to have at 10:30. We've got an interview. The show, our show will end, guys, and I've got an interview with a couple of Legend Football League players, the Velluto sisters, and that'd be Rebecca and Veronica.
This is Becca and Veronica Velluto,
and we are the Velluto Sisters of the Seattle Mist in the Legends Football League, and you are listening to Candid Frank Live.
Now, I always look for an excuse for women to scream out my name. They normally don't, so it just gives me a chance to, you know, to have that opportunity, and there it was. Okay, so basically...
Before you dive into that, I'd like to bring something up here, Frank.
Cool.
I'm going through the Wikipedia page or actually through the Internet on different sites, and I found this that for you guys. It says the BC Lions head coach and general manager Wally Buono took notice of Harris's talents in junior football and claimed him as a territorial exemption in 2008. He joined the Lions practice roster in 2009 while continuing to play his final season of junior for the Raiders.
But we will. So you will
we,
admit
we have a
territorial
exemption into junior football, not CIS.
Okay. But you will admit that Wikipedia isn't exactly a fact-ridden organization.
I've also found it on CFL.ca.
Oh, that's different. Now I'll buy it. But you know, Wikipedia is a place where I can edit something.
I'm cognizant. I understand that.
I'm just saying. I'm just
but you
saying.
Can all your edits also get changed, and you get your IP address banned if you do it wrong.
Oh, really? Cool.
Trust me.
That's cool.
Yeah, trust me. You know, if you go in and change something about 9/11 to something about the terrorists didn't really happen, they ban your IP for quite some time.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Interesting.
Yeah, I know. It's first-hand
experience. Well, we still got a couple
here.
Of minutes, and there were a couple of other topics I wanted to broach, but we really don't have time to do it. So instead, John, everybody else had a chance to predict at this point in the season. We asked everybody, and I think Serge was in there. I guess, John, you're the only one, and I have a question for you. Which two teams do you see in the Grey Cup this year, based on what you know today?
Well, you know,
where was we at, man?
This is hard for me to go that route, right?
Yeah, I know, John. It was hard for me, too, because I didn't want to not say the Argonauts.
Hold this for a second, dude.
Well, you know what? And this is going to be a surprise to you guys, but I see, and I just don't see Caleros being able to be the leader he needs to be, but I see Montreal at the end of the season. They were, at the end of the season, strong last year. I think they're going to have the pieces together, and I think they're a bigger threat than we all think. That's my East. In the West?
Hold up.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I told you guys, I think Calgary.
Well, that'd be an interesting Grey Cup. I don't think there's been a Calgary-Montreal Grey Cup for at least 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. And I'm, don't, I hate saying it, you know. But anyway, that's just my reality, okay, of what I see. Again, Argos. Even though we don't have a defense, but it's going to be us.
Well, I'm like I said, like everybody else, there's quite a few good general managers in the CFL, and one of them is Barker, even though a lot of people don't like him. But I have faith that he'll do something to prop up our team to make them competitive. And another prediction, John, in the next couple of days, maybe the announcement that finally the one we've been waiting for.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Khalif,
you know,
Mitchell
what?
Signs with BC. That would be awesome. I'm waiting for that announcement to happen.
That's another announcement.
It's been 2 weeks in the making now. That has to be announced real soon.
It will.
You
know,
I'm going to get
don't
that announcement before you guys are going to get one.
Well, you know what, Chris? I don't think he's going to announce it until the contracts have been signed with the CBA. He's sitting back, and there's no reason for him to rush anything for his own sake, right?
For who? Mitchell?
Mitchell, yeah. He's not missing anything.
Signed.
When did he sign?
It's already signed. It's just not announced.
Okay.
I've had that from 3 or 4 sources.
Yeah.
All right.
It's done.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm surprised he would sign before the contract's done deal. leaves a lot of money on the table that he still could have gotten if he signed early. But on the other point, I forget the other point.
Which team in the West is in the Grey Cup?
Well, the Calgary. But there
he
was
said
another,
Calgary.
The,
oh, yeah,
yeah,
you did say Calgary, okay.
Yeah, but there was
he now wants to talk about MLSC.
Oh, it was about the sale, right. You know what? That's the kind of bittersweet moment I had yesterday because it's just been the fork in the road with the Raptor playoffs, okay, as far as the announcement goes. And for good reason. There's no it would just get muffled out, you know, the announcement. So, and with TFC not doing so well right now, 3 in a row, and they lost yesterday, Saturday. It's just not been going good for them. So the Argo announcement, it's just been prolonged, or you know, this lack of announcing has been prolonged too long. I'm looking forward to it, guys. It was supposed to be last week. Now I hear, I don't know what I hear. Sooner than later, I'm not going to say it anymore because I get it third hand. And when I get a third hand, I just don't rely on it anymore because they've been just the MLSC people are kind of unpredictable. That's all I got to say. Anyway, this week
are the Raptors still in the playoffs?
No,
the
they lost.
Still in the
okay, a quick a quick
was
minute
that,
from
am
Serge.
Am I still muted?
Yep.
A quick mention from Serge about the Raptors.
Yeah.
Your salute to the Raptors. You were a diehard Raptors fan. You weren't on the show here many a night because you were busy watching the Raptors. What was it like
for
you that last
game? And I think a lot of people from outside the GTA, like myself, have become enamored with the Raptors. So I think from here on in, I'll be following. I started following them like late December, January, but I'll start following them from the beginning next year and probably go to more games. I mean, It's been 20 years. The Raptors are around, but now I'm officially Raptors. It's too bad for yesterday, but I don't think it's the end of the world. I think they can build on that, and I have no doubt one day they'll win an NBA title down the road.
And Manasse, on behalf of Manasse, he was very upset that he felt there were at least three fouls.
They said it on the announcer. Okay. You know, pointed them out. So what can you do? That's part controversy. It's part of the game. That's how it goes.
Yep.
Wish it was.
Them Americans don't want a Canadian team in there.
Yeah, that just means we got to work harder. That's all.
That's exactly it.
The least of anyone's worries. I mean, you know, that was just one play in the game where they got hosed. I mean, they got hosed all night. So.
Well, fellas, we know the track record of NBA officials, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, everybody knows the history, right?
We know that there's a wee bit of. Look, guys, I'll leave this one for you to think about. If you haven't heard me say this before, I'll say it now. In the history of the National Basketball Association, only two teams in NBA history were given a moratorium and were unable to draft first overall. They were denied that opportunity for their first 5 years of existence. Both those teams were Canadian, and I don't think that's a coincidence. So, you know, the NBA, we know, has racists involved in there. We know that discrimination
really?
Exists. We know that discrimination exists, and it's a part of the human experience. And the Canadians are the minority, just like they are in hockey. All the rules are there. They favor the majority. That's the way it goes. And Serge said it right. The Canadian team, being the Raptors, is going to have to work harder than anybody else to win, which is typical.
I mean, we lost by 1 point in the seventh game, like I mentioned, to a team that has $180 million payroll. Nothing to hang your heads about there. Sorry.
No, they were when the season started, if you looked at the beginning of the year, they were a favorite to win the title. They were built to beat Miami. Never mind Toronto. They were built to beat Miami.
Good luck against Miami. They're going to need
good
it.
Luck.
Need
well, listen, guys, I got to leave it there. We've got our interview next. Again, we'll be back on Friday with the show again. And we're getting close to the point where our Friday is going to not be CFL. It'll be Wednesday. It'll be Monday and Wednesday, and we'll do something else on Fridays because Friday Night Football
season
is back.
Football.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Sorry.
We'll see you again next time. Have a great one, everyone.
Have a great one. See you Friday, guys.
So, now, as it is my pleasure to provide you with the interview that we did, the Valuto sisters and I. And, well, you know, they play for the what used to be the Lingerie Football League, which is now the Legends Football League. As you know, we had a guest, the commissioner of the LFL last year. And there are some people who don't like, you know, the fact that women play football and the dress that they wear. They're toning it down a little bit more this year. And then at the same time, you know, it is what it is. And I just wanted to have a chance to get to know a couple of players. They're BC girls, which Christopher should be really happy about. And they play for the Seattle Mist. Okay, Becca, what position do you play?
It's not official yet because our coach is very adamant on having everybody know every position. For the most part, but I would say mostly corner and wide receiver, and maybe a bit of rover.
And Veronica?
I've been playing, like, everywhere. I've played tight end, defensive end, wide receiver, corner, safety, kicker.
Okay, the game is both, you play both defense and offense, right?
Yeah.
Okay, give me a quick education on the game.
The game is very similar to the indoor football leagues that are in the U.S., so it is American football with four downs. There's seven aside. So the tight ends in the center are eligible receivers.
So there's three on the line. So two tight ends, usually in a center.
Yeah. And then you can either have three receivers or three running backs or two and one. Or
all of them can
all
play
of them
the ball.
Can play the ball. The center is able, like after she snaps the ball, she is able to release and run a route and catch the ball. Yeah, so they're all eligible receivers. There's just three on the line, like for sure, as like protection and stuff.
Yes, two halves. They're 8-minute quarters. It is really short. So the whole game in all is only 36 minutes. There's only one timeout per team per half. They do take, like, in the professional football league, they do take, like, commercial, like, sponsor break.
Yep.
And we do have photographers on the field with us. It can be odd, but I've never seen one get in the way.
Do you mean still shot or do you mean video as well?
Both.
Okay, camera. So camera people.
Yes.
Yeah.
And deeper.
Yeah.
Like, they're like the officials almost, right?
Yeah, and they're on the field. They're done in a hockey arena.
Veronica, I understand you're a big CFL fan.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
BC Lions, good. Of course. Obviously.
Yeah, sure. I'm in Ontario. I got three teams to pick from, but I'm closer. I'm down the middle between Hamilton and Toronto, but I prefer Toronto. I was born there.
Our dad's from Toronto, but he's a Maple Leafs and a Blue Jays fan.
But total BC Lions fan.
Yeah, BC Lions fan.
I'm sorry for him that he's a Toronto Maple Leaf fan.
I think it's one of those things you just love him because you're from there.
That's totally understandable. Yeah. You grow up watching.
And then when it comes to soccer, Italy all the way.
Totally. Except
there
the
you go. So he's the Italian one. Your mother is French.
Yeah, French-Canadian.
Okay.
Yep.
Now the Legends Football League. And we have had teams in Canada, but we still do have players that are Canadian playing in the Legends Football League. I have two here who are sisters. We have Becca and Veronica Velluto. Why a nice young lady would want to get herself all beat up. So I guess, Becca, you first. What brought you into the fold as a lady, female football player?
My sister? Yeah. Veronica actually started playing football and then got me to join a local women's flag football team. And then through that, girls on my flag football team played for the first season of the BC Angels. And then last season, we were ready, set to go for the Angels, the both of us. And it didn't work out because the season, unfortunately, folded. And then we were invited down to try out for the Seattle Mets, and we made the team, and so that's where I am now.
It's a fair-sized league. It has East and West. Where are some of the teams that you play?
We play
Chicago, Las Vegas, and L.A.,
and Green Bay, who we play
good.
On Friday.
And I was just testing you. I have it here, so that's good. Now, here's going to be the tough one now. What about the East?
We've got Omaha, Jacksonville, Toledo,
Baltimore, Philadelphia.
No, I don't know if it's Philadelphia.
I'm pretty sure there is one.
You know what? I'm just gonna say it is because I'm looking here at the Western Division. The season has just begun. Let's just say it's right. The season has just begun. It's relatively new. You're both in a tough position, I guess, not because you're imports, but because you're going from a team that folded to now you're hoping to hook up with a team outside, which is, of course, the Seattle Mist. How difficult is that?
They had a lot of girls like that kind of retired, I guess you could say. So they had a lot of openings on the team. The hardest part for us is just driving down every weekend for practices, probably.
Yeah. What kind of drive is it for you?
3 hours.
Well, that's. Yeah, 3, sometimes 4, depending on where it is. And then it could be maybe a little longer if there's a border wait.
Okay.
The 8 a.m. practices are tough, though.
No, 7 a.m. practices are the worst. If we're not down there the night before, we've left at 4:30 in the morning to get for a 7 a.m. practice. No, 8
Now, it obviously makes it bearable, the fact that you're both going together. You know, the buddy system always works. And when your buddy's your sister, I guess it helps even more, so it makes it easier for you to go through this. I can't imagine how difficult it might be if only one of you were doing it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. There's 6 of us that are going down.
Yeah,
oh,
6
okay.
Canadians in total.
Yeah, so we have 3 and 3 in each car.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And are you all from the Vancouver area, the BC area?
Yeah. 3 are in Coquitlam and 1's in Cloverdale.
And I'm going to make an assumption now, and you can correct me when you need to. So probably they were with the other team as well that folded or connected to it somehow. And so the dedication towards this league, it must be obvious to people who are listening right now that how much you care about playing this game. Tell me a little bit about your football background and what brought you into the game of football from day one. I'll start with Veronica, the one that created this problem.
Yeah. I don't know if
was a problem.
Well, I started off playing in a men's touch football league with my boyfriend and all our friends. And from there, I moved on to the women's flag league and then on to the BC Angels and then Seattle Men.
And Becca, we know that it was because of your sister, but specifically, how did it work out?
Well, I was just finishing university, and I was looking to get back into sports because we used to play soccer. And soccer, I love it with all my heart, but had some heavy politics, even in the women's teams. So she was like, oh, hey, I just joined women's flag football, and I had fun. And then it was coming to spring season because they have a fall and a spring league, which is really nice because then you're playing it almost all year round. And in the summertime, they have a co-ed. So I joined the women's spring league just to kind of start getting back into shape, and I just kind of fell in love with it.
It's all about the game.
Yeah.
We're not gonna con anybody into believing that all the women in the league are like that. But what I would like to get out there, the information I would like to get out there, while people seem to think the norm is that these are models and actresses, while they do exist in the league, it's not just about models and actresses. There are actually people who are gals who really like to play the game of football.
Yeah, it's the highest form of, like, women's football, like professional football, that we can play. So why not if you can do it?
Exactly.
Why not play in front of, like, a bunch of people in a stadium and, like, sign autographs later and all that fun stuff, right?
Yeah. And it's not really about the fame. It's just that it's being able to have the opportunity to play at the highest level, not just in a beer league where everyone has fun and it's great and it's competitive, but this is where you get an opportunity to travel and to play other women that love the sport as much as you across the country.
And I think the key factor you mentioned there, it's the same thing that we talk about in the CFL where, you know, on the, I don't want to say downside, but, No, let's say on the upside, CFL players love playing the game. They play because they love the game. The Americans that come up here, it's not about the money that much because the money isn't that much as it is, you know, like in the NFL. These guys don't make millions and millions and millions.
Yeah,
so there's
like
a reason why. Yeah, and there's a reason why they play. They love the game. They love running down the tunnel, and they love the fans screaming and yelling. They love the bright lights. And like you said, they love playing against the best that they can play against, and it's a great challenge. So, you know, I can understand that. But from week to week, twice a week, we talk about the CFL, and I'm hearing right now a lot of what I hear when we talk about the CFL. That's probably part of the reason why, Veronica, I asked you if you were a CFL fan, because actually I know that you are. Your sister advised me that you were. Do you see this as something that not only fulfills your life, but do you see yourself staying involved in football many times and in this league? Is it the kind of league that you're hoping to be a part of on a management scale or a coach, that type of thing?
I don't know about coaching, because I definitely don't have the same knowledge that our coach in Seattle does. He's amazing.
He's incredible.
But
all of them.
Yeah, I would love to get into that type of stuff if the opportunities came.
Yeah, you don't have to be a head coach, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's how everybody does it. Believe it or not, Becca and Veronica, head coaches in football weren't always head coaches. They started somewhere. Everybody starts somewhere. Much like as a player, you know, you didn't just appear on the Seattle Mist. And even now, it's very competitive, right? You know you're going to play for the team. Let's talk about the game itself. It is four downs. There are seven players on the field. You don't necessarily – the positions aren't necessarily static. They're assigned by the coach, you know, on the day of the game, I guess.
For every team.
Yeah.
But for our team especially, our coach wants us to know every position so that if anybody gets hurt or anything happens, we can be thrown in at any time.
Yeah, and you're not kind of like a one-trick pony.
Yeah, and you know what? Every indoor football league is concerned to that degree because, quite frankly, people get injured and there are only seven players, and I'm sure you don't have 43 people on the sidelines like they have in the CFL.
No, the teams have a maximum number of 20 contracted players.
Right.
And then you're only allowed to dress 14. So really, your maximum players are seven each way. And so if you lose one, you're down to 13. So someone has to play both ways. So
So that's why I think it's excellent that our coach challenges us to become well-rounded football players that are capable of playing more than just two positions.
And he, you know, he throws out his best seven and his best the best position that they play, right? Because, you know, it's all about the hot hand or the hot feet or the, you know, the person that's in a certain group, right? So that's part of the reason too. So you play two halves just like any football, but it's 8 minute quarters, four 8 minute quarters. So the game, as you told me off air, it goes rather quickly, about 36 minutes.
Yeah, and then with stoppage time and like introductions, it usually works about to an hour and a half total for the game.
And if you want to go to the game, I guess right now all we've got is the American version. There was a Canadian version, and you guys, tell us a little bit about the Canadian version. Vancouver had a team. Toronto had a team here as well. Tell us a little bit about the Canadian version.
Toronto Triumph actually started in the LFL US that I know of, and they didn't continue on where the other teams did, because the first season was BC Angels, there was Saskatoon Sirens, Regina Rage, and then
Toronto Triumph
for the first inaugural season. And then Toronto dropped out, and for the second season they were looking to bring in a team in Calgary. And unfortunately things didn't work out, so it did kind of fold. We hear that they're going to try and bring it back, and it would be nice because then that means that the league is beyond the U.S., even though it has expanded and been very successful in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice for Canada to have something as well, because the CFL only runs from June to November, and there's got to be something else that we can offer besides hockey.
I hear you. And, you know, while I maintain, and we, you know, I've had I interviewed your commissioner last year, and he was on, and we had a nice conversation, and a nice lady called in, and she was very upset that we were doing an interview with the Legends Football League, and the reason she was upset is she felt that you guys didn't really play football. If I said to you, you don't really play football, what would you say?
Come out to a game. Yeah, I would say, you know what, you can't knock something before you try it. You know, it's just like food. You can't say you don't like something if you've never tried it before. And don't be afraid to go try and step outside your comfort zone, because I've had professional football players say that it's more hard-hitting than what they play.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so, again, like, it's extremely challenging physically and mentally, because especially how fast it's played. And, you know, we're regular women who are not paid to play the game either.
Yeah. You know, it's difficult when one sees something. It's very easy to have a knee-jerk reaction and just look at something. And I find it humorous, and this is the part that I find humorous, is that some women say, well, you know, the girls dress, more sexually provocative than protect themselves. Mind you, you know, with men football, if you took a step back, if somebody took a step back, it's not exactly non-sexual dress as well, because, you know, what they wear are pads to protect them, but they basically wear the least possible because it interferes with them moving around, and that's what people don't understand as well, that there's a reason for wearing less than you have to. I'm not trying to defend what you guys, you know, the way you guys dress, but yeah, I think you get what I'm saying, and sometimes people are unfair that way, you know. In every sport, everybody dresses to the least that they have to, because you want nothing holding you back.
Yeah, and, you know, the LFL is always finding ways to improve and better the equipment. You know, it is a new league. It's fifth year this year. So it's not like the CFL and the NFL that have been established for very long and have the years of
history
behind it to kind of figure out ways of getting the equipment better. So they're still moving forward, and things have gotten better since they've started. With uniforms, you know, each year they're changing, and, you know, we just hope that people look beyond the uniforms and the image, because it does attract a certain crowd. But at the same time, going to a game and watching the girls play in December at the Pacific Cup, and the number of families and children and women in the stands were equal to the men. So it's
there you
not
go.
Just those people. And I will admit, when I was in college and I went to football games with my friends, we went because the guys were cute and muscly and had tight pants, their butts looked good. But now I appreciate the game for what it is.
But
so,
that's my
yeah.
but that's my point, that, you know, like
exactly.
the joke about the guy that's a tight end. Yeah, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, it is what it is. And I find that kind of hypocritical for people. Society, you know, tends to be less forgiving of women than they are of men. You know, that's just something that we see repeated everywhere. So, you know, I'm not surprised that people have this reaction to your game. I personally, you know, prefer to enjoy the game, and that kind of stuff doesn't really – it isn't what the reason why I watch anything. And it's not going to be the reason why I stop watching something either. That's the part that I hope I don't do, and I wish people wouldn't do, and I agree with you. Give it a chance, check it out, and then decide for yourself how much of this is I don't know, eye candy, and how much of it is football, period.
I'd say,
you know,
it's football first and the other latter, because
yeah.
you look at if you were to come and an average person who says, yeah, I can play football, you know, I play it on my extra time, come to one of our 3-hour practices on the weekend, you know, you would die probably in the first 20 minutes. Our coach pushes us beyond our limits to make us prepared for the games, and because of the physical requirements and task it takes on our bodies.
Yep. And as we said before, no one here is hiding from the fact that some of the girls are actresses and models. But again, I want to repeat, not all of them are, for the very reason that the ones that aren't like to play the game. And
yeah.
to be fair, I bet you even some of that are models and actresses aren't doing it for publicity. They're doing it because they love it too. And admittedly, in everything, in every sport, people have ulterior motives for why they play. It isn't always just about X. There's always Y and Z, and that's what makes the world go round, and that's what we have to, you know, remember. Stereotyping people is not a very good thing, and I hope I don't cause anyone to stereotype you because of this interview. I hope people will understand that what we're talking about here is football, and people who are interested in the game and who have played it pretty much what it sounds like to me, all their lives.
Yeah, and we appreciate that. And honestly, like the Seattle Mist in particular, our team, I don't think anyone are actresses and models. I think we all have, like,
there's one girl that's a pageant queen, but that's about it.
But
that's
at the
a
same
historical
time,
thing.
So
that's not a looking forward thing. That's part of their history, not a looking forward thing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, no.
And
so,
we all have good jobs and we have personal life goals, but we love, all of us are on that team because we love football, and that's the primary focus. And I think that makes the biggest difference between teams that are successful in the seasons. And for those teams that it is a team view, and the team is a unit that moves forward and has the goals unified, and the goal is to work together as a team first, is when you see teams succeed and win. Just like when there was a conversation on the Lions Den about quarterbacking situation, and it was mentioned that I think it was in 2011 when they went 0-5
mm-hmm.
at the beginning, and then
okay.
they ended up 10-0 and winning the Grey Cup. So it shows that when a team is together, anything's possible.
Absolutely. All kidding aside now, guys, the Eastern Division has the Jacksonville Breeze, the Atlanta Steam, the Toledo Crush, the Baltimore Charm, and the Omaha Heart. And it says here the Los Angeles Temptation, the Chicago Bliss, the Green Bay Chill, the Seattle Mist, and the Las Vegas Sin. And you're in the midst of your season, and as yet, it shows that you haven't played your first game yet. Is that accurate? Is the webpage? Okay, good. So really, right now... Yep, Jacksonville has played twice, and they won both their games. So
mm-hmm.
Baltimore and Omaha were the victims of Jacksonville's two victories. Atlanta Steam and the Toledo Crush have not played as yet, just like you. The Los Angeles Temptation beat Las Vegas Sin, and that's the only game thus far. So it's the very beginning of the season. And for our American listeners, you can go to LFL So I guess it's .com. It would be .com. Just search Legends Football League, and you can see the schedule in there, and you can see how to buy the tickets. And not only that, you can watch some of the game. If you're not 100% sure it's for you or you want to check it out, you can at least have a look at it and see what it's like on a screen in front of you, and maybe it'll be enough to make you curious enough to go and watch it in person. I have Christopher Jones, who's a guy in our group, who went to see one of your live games, and he's very proud of having an autograph with one of the girls. So, you know, and he enjoyed the game. He was surprised how good it was. And I don't know if that's a bad way of saying it for me, and I apologize, but I think it's a good way. I mean, it just goes to show you that it is, you know, it's just the bias that we have as people, as society has, against women doing things that are not what women normally do. It's difficult for society, not just men, it's difficult for society to accept that women will do something physically punishing on purpose.
Yeah, because we love it.
Exactly. And that's my promo for what you're doing. I mean, I that's my gratitude for taking the time to talk to me. So tell us a little bit about your personal lives and what do you do to make a living?
Well, I'm the older of the two, Rebecca. And I am a high school music teacher.
Right.
And
That's
working.
Far enough to go. So you're a teacher,
yeah.
And that in itself, it's the next best thing to saying, you know, during the day you're a librarian, and then you're a Legends football player.
Yeah.
Right?
And then going back to school in the fall and doing a master's degree. So, you know, I've got goals in life, and I'll do what I do. And if I can play the highest level of football at the same time, why not?
How about you, Veronica?
I'm a kinesiologist, so I work in a physiotherapy office, just
doing
exercise programs for rehab.
That's fantastic. So after you beat the bejesus out of somebody, you can bring them in and take care of them.
Exactly.
Oh, sorry for that. Let me help you out.
There you go. Here, I know how to fix that. No, it's okay. Leave me alone. It's all right. I'm fine. Thank you. I'll just walk away. You also mentioned, Becca, in our previous conversations off the air, that you do this also for selfish reasons, selfish personal reasons. It helps keep you trim and fit. It gives you a reason to stay trim and fit. And so there is another reason why you do it, and one that's a healthful one.
Yeah, that's my secondary reason. It keeps me – I'm one of those people – I'm Italian. I love food. And if I could eat whatever I wanted every single day and not gain an ounce of pound, I would. I love cheese. I love pasta. I love dessert, chocolate, cheesecake, name it. I probably love it. And there was a time in my life when I was, I think, about 170 pounds. And that's not heavy, but – for me, it was the largest I had ever been, and I wasn't healthy. And then I
or
started
happy.
Joining football.
Or I assume
and,
happy.
Yeah, I was not happy with myself. And, you know, joining football, it gave me kind of a consistent reason to exercise. I'm also one of those people that with exercise, going to the gym just isn't for me. I like organized sports and having some part of competitiveness to it. And so joining a high level of sport, it requires me to push myself and to kind of be on my regimen so that I am healthy. And I'm still in the process. You know, I've lost about 35 pounds last year I did. And now it's like, okay, now it's time to tone up and strengthen my body. And, you know, this forces me to do that. And it's fun. So why not be healthy and have fun at the same time?
And if you do have a little weakness for not being as motivated outside of, you know, being competitive, then you've worked out a way to do it.
Right.
Yeah. But you have to keep up with these other girls. Like, the other girls on the team are huge. Uh-huh. Like, they're really, like, strong and jacked. So we have,
they're one of my favorite.
That's my motivation to go to the gym.
They're swole up.
Yeah.
As men can say, they're swole up.
I have a couple of their pictures up here, and dainty is not the word I'd use.
Not at all.
No way.
You know, you've seen Deanna Shaver Cotter? She's
huge. It's awful trying to block against her, but
or
it keeps her going. Yeah.
Or get tackled by her. Oh, I still have a bruise from a couple weeks ago. But it gets you stronger, and it makes your just pushes you harder to, well, you know, she can do that. Then, you know, I should be able to not let her do that. And so being on a team with someone like that is so incredible because you're always kind of raising the bar for each other.
Yeah, and that's great. Veronica, for you, is it the physical aspect, the training, is that an upside for you as well?
Yeah, I've been training a lot more since I started practicing because especially if I'm going to be playing some of the like tight end positions or defensive end positions I was playing in practice, I need to be as strong as those girls to like compete with them.
Like,
otherwise, I'm going to get run over.
Yeah, they're like 5'10", 5'11", 6 feet, and like
190 pounds of pure muscle.
Like, it's pure muscle. Girls who work out for a living sometimes.
They have like 30 pounds of muscle on me, so I got to start keeping up and,
You know what they say, you know, the toughest part about losing weight is fat weighs less than muscle.
Right, yeah.
So sometimes you're not making the kind of progress you think, so it's kind of frustrating for some people, not to name any names, me. And I'm good because I don't have that much muscle, so I'm big, but I'm very, very light. So in conclusion, you played this game, you love this game. If you were to recommend it to somebody, I think we've mentioned a few good reasons for joining. But let's talk about, this is an opportunity for you to say thank you to the game and how much what it does for you. Football is a game that's very associated with being a team, very associated with the dedication that players have. And the humility, because it's a team sport, it's not a game where, you know, everybody's always front and center. You really do have to work as a team. How does it do in your own mind, personality-wise, working as a team? Does that help you outside of the game itself?
I'm not an individualist. I like being part of a unit, even as a teacher.
We've always played team sports.
And then as a teacher, like, I like working with my colleagues and being a community. That sense of community is what makes people strive and excel. And, you know, there's that saying, there's no I in team, but you can find it, you know, it tends to kind of go hand in hand with that, you know. And I like that sense of family. So that when you go to be competitive, you're supporting each other and having fun. And, you know, it is a social aspect to it, too.
Yeah, football is more like that than any other sport. The more I talk to football players, I've talked to hockey players, I've talked to lacrosse players, and for me, football players are much more a community than in the other sports. But I think it's because it is. Every down is a set play. There is no, you know, you do what you want on your own, because pretty soon if you do that, the team breaks down and the play breaks down and you're not on the team. So, if you want to be successful, the first thing you have to accept as a football player is being a team member. I'm glad you said that, because that's one of the truths that I've discovered and uncovered, and I'm sure most other football fans have. You know, it's been a lot of fun talking to you guys, the Velluto sisters, Becca and Veronica. If you're ever in the neighborhood of Seattle, there's games there all the time. And as I said, look up Legends Football League, and you'll get a chance to enjoy football in a way that you're not accustomed to. Ladies, thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
My pleasure. The Seattle Miss, Becca and Veronica Velluto. The season's just begun.